This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There's no greater gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a servant can receive greater than his heart is filled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greater than the heart is filled with iman, with hope and with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also having good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we call husnu dhan billahi ta'ala. Husnu dhan is part of having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the action of the heart. Actually, it is a byproduct when you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and comes with it husnu dhan billah, that you hope that you are thinking good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why those who have good thoughts of Allah and their heart is filled with Allah, and they are the happiest person in the world. They are the most happiest person in the world. They don't feel any sadness in this world. Alhamdulillah. So no one who has a strong iman towards Allah, except that he's also having a good thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he thinks good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he thinks that Allah wants good for him. These two elements, faith and thinking good of Allah, are the greatest gift that Allah can give to anybody, because Allah doesn't give it to whomsoever, anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives, grant this only to those who are the believers. Those who are believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mu'minun. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ مَا عُطِي عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرًا مِنْ حُسْنِ ظَنِّ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. يعني, he make an oath, يعني, وَاللَّهِ, there's no God besides him. The believer, the servant, will not get something that is better. The believer, the slave that is believing, they don't get anything better than the husnuzan billah, the thinking of good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ لَا يُحْسِنُ عَبْدُ ظَنَّهُ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ ظَنَّهُ. And when the slave thinks good of his Lord, whatever that he thinks of that Lord, his God, his creator, that Allah will give it to him. Whatever he thinks of him, that Allah, when he thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely forgive his sins. If he thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand his rizq, then inshallah Allah will expand his rizq. This is the power of husnudhan billah. It is an indication of iman, actually. Which level iman that you are in, that separates those who believe in Allah and those who doesn't believe in Allah. Those who have iman that is very, very weak. So Allah mentions in Surah Ali Imran, this happened during the Battle of Badr. Sorry, during the Battle of Uhud, actually, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. And the people said to the Muslims, this has happened during the Battle of Uhud, where the Muslims are approaching the Mushrikuns. They're approaching Abu Sufyan's army. So some of the Bedouins, when they pass by the Muslims, they say, verily, the armies of the Mushrikun has already gathered to kill you. They're already there, ready for you. So this is your doom. Your doom is approaching. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, continues by saying, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Instead, their iman increased. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And then they say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Ya Allah. And they said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ. It is sufficient Allah for us. He is the best of all. Disposes of all affairs. So this ayat was revealed in Battle of Uhud. So actually this kalima, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, is the example of showing that you are having good thoughts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are facing a battle your life is being gambled. So they say, no problem. We do this for the sake of Allah. So we're going to go forth. We're not going to go back. So this shows the good hope that you're placing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also said that this phrase, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, was said by the father of all prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was about to be thrown in the fire, that he said, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Sufficient is Allah for me. He is the best of disposers of affairs. And this powerful phrase cooled down the fire and make Ibrahim safe inside it. Had not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wasalaman, Allah just said, barat, Allah just said, cool, then Ibrahim will be frozen in the fire. So Allah said, wasalaman. Not only to be cool, but also become safe for Ibrahim alayhi salam. And those people, whenever they perfected their husnudhan billah, and their iman increases. Zadatum imana. In the contrary, as a sign of doubt, the sign of nifaq, the sign of hypocrisy, this is due to the servant's bad thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't think good of Allah. They think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not answer their prayer. They think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them because of their lifestyle, their deeds, that what they have done. And they think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a bad and evil thought. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them in Surah Al-Fath, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيُعَذِّبُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ الظَّانِّينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوءِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوءِ
وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَنَهُمْ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا.
And Allah said, Allah will punish يُعَذِّبُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ, those hypocrites from the amongst the men and amongst the women, and from those idolaters, from the mushrikuns and the mushrikats, the men and the women. What did they do? أَظَانِينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ. They have evil thoughts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the description of people who are munafiqs and mushriks. Allah said they have bad thoughts of Allah. They don't place the right thinking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they are not convinced of Allah's promises in the Quran that Allah will make this religion prevail. They don't have that certainty that Allah will make Islam prevail in this world. So they have doubts, they have shak, they have a hypocrisy in their heart. So Allah described 5 kinds of punishment for them. Alayhim da'iratus saw. Their ending will turn against them, which means they thought that the mushrikun will win. They thought that Islam will lose because Islam is so little in the beginning. They are like strangers. They are very, very weak. So they think, they were never going to win. So Allah said, wa alayhim da'iratus saw, that they will be turned against whatever they think of. So they will lose. And second, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, Allah is angry with them. وَلَعَنَهُمْ, and Allah's curse upon them. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ, and they will enter the Jahannam. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and they will finally end in the miserable ending. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, لَمْ يَتَوَعَدِ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا بِالْعِقَابِ أَعْظَمَ مِنْ مَنْ ظَنَّ بِهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ. Allah SWT has not warned about a greater threat upon someone greater than those who have bad thoughts towards Allah SWT. So imagine these 5 things happen to you because you have weak iman and you think bad of Allah SWT. And who is the one responsible that caused us to have these thoughts of Allah SWT, to have these evil thoughts? We have that Allah SWT is not a merciful God. And this is none other than shaitan. Ya Allah. And it's none other than shaitan. Allah SWT said,
إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ.
Indeed, shaitan. That is the work of the shaitan. يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. He will make you scared. He will say, oh, you see. He will put fear inside of you. You see, Allah SWT will not save you. This is your destruction. You will be perish from the world. And then Allah SWT said,
فَلَا تَخَافُهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ.
Do not fear them. فَلَا تَخَافُهُمْ وَخَافُونِ. Fear me, يعني, fear Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ, if you are surely a believer, that you have perfected your husnu dhan, that you have perfected your good thoughts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then this is what you have to do, that you have to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only this is just a sunnah thing to do, it is just things that is additional. Instead, Allah commands us to do it. Allah commands us to have good thoughts towards Him, thinking good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah commands us in one of the ayah, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And be a muhsin. أُحْسِنُوا, أَحْسِنُوا. Become good. Be having good thoughts towards Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who are muhsinun. Those who are the good doers. And Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the pious predecessors, he said about this ayah, ahsin dhanna billah, which means this ayah means that you have You have to think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahsinu. Allah, this phrase, ahsinu, is like a command. Ahsinu, uqtulu, for example, sallu, all of these are commands. So ahsinu means be good, do good. So one of the meanings is become. You have to think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who felt their good thoughts on Allah is decreasing should reflect to themselves and their state of iman, actually. If you have a week of iman, lack of iman, your thought towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will decrease. And this is one of the profound hadith we can mention. It is a hadith from Hadith Qudsi. Hadith Al-Qudsi. What does it mean by Hadith Qudsi? Who knows about Hadith Qudsi? Anybody knows what does it mean by Hadith Qudsi? Anybody heard about Hadith Qudsi? Anybody knows? Is it because this person's name is Al-Qudsi? No, right? Hadith Al-Qudsi means the Prophet said, Allah said. Okay, Qudsi means it's holy. It's holy, something that is holy. So Allah say, but this is not revealed as Quran. This is not become like a Quran. It is not a mu'jiza. It is like the interpretation of the Prophet how he said, not verbatim words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did Allah say? قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Verily I am as what my servants think of me. فَلْيَظُنْ عَبْدِي بِمَا شَاءَ. So let my servant think whatever they want about me. This hadith indicates that Allah will not leave our thoughts in vain. Our thinking about him, that Allah will not leave it like just like that without any reply. If you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do good to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a good ending, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate your affairs in your life, these are all Allah will give it to you. You are only thinking of good. Say, oh Allah, this is what I think of you. You are Al-Khaliq, Al-Razik, the one who gives, the one who provides for everybody, the sustainer of this universe. So you will not abandon me. You will not abandon me at all. So this is very important. How you think of Allah, that is how Allah will give you. Allah will deal with you accordingly. However, of course, whatever you think, it doesn't come for free. It doesn't come for free. Of course, there will be tests and trials so that Allah knows who amongst us are truthful and who amongst us are just saying lip service. And they say, oh Allah, I think good of you. I know you are a merciful God. But lip service does not permit you to do anything that you like. Some people, inshallah, some people, they think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are neglecting their obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so those who having claimed good thoughts of Allah, so it must be followed with actions. Actions, right? Must be followed by good deeds. Not only just merely claims that you say, oh, I think good of Allah, so khalas, I can do whatever I want. No. You must have husnul amal. You must have amal. You have to do good deeds. You have to practice what you preach, what you say. Yes. Oh, normal hadith. Normal hadith is what the Prophet said. The normal hadith. But Hadith Qudsi is the specific hadith that Prophet said, Allah said. It's like, no, it's not a verbatim one. Verbatim ayat of Allah is the Quran. Right? Oh, mutawatir. Mutawatir is different. Mutawatir are the hadith that was narrated by a large number of people. Right? So they are, it is impossible for them to gather and conspire on this hadith. Because a lot of people talk about the same thing. This is mutawatir. And okay, let us go through. How do we know that we have good thoughts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the first one, maybe we can say, first thing is we are certain that Allah will answer our prayer. Allah will answer all of our calls. قَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دَعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, your Lord has proclaimed that udu'uni, call upon me, astajib lakum, that I will answer your prayers. So we, those who have good thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he or she will always say that Allah will answer my prayer. Allah listens, even though Allah didn't give, Allah will not give it now. InshaAllah, Allah listens, and Allah is either Allah give it now, or Allah delays it, or Allah take it away from you. I mean, take something that is harmful away from you, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it in the day of judgment as a reward for you. It was changed to a reward so that you can see your scale will be heavier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Amma al-mujibu al-dharra idha da'a. And who is the one who will answer those who are asking dharra idha da'a, when they ask for help, when they are in a dire situation? And also the Prophet ﷺ said, Ud'u Allaha wa antum mukirruna bil ijabah. The Prophet ﷺ said, make dua that you are certain that Allah will grant you your dua. Subhanallah. Okay, this is among the sign of those who have good thoughts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Husnudhan billah. And so, for example, you have to be certain that when you make istighfar, that Allah will forgive you. When you make tawbah, and Allah will accept your repentance. When you ask anything from Allah, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Whenever you ask something, ask from Allah, and Allah will grant to you. Grant it to you, inshallah. Second one. Those who have good thoughts towards Allah, they are certain that Allah will forgive their sins, that Allah will pardon their mistakes, and cover their shortcomings. Cover their Ayub, their aib, their shortcomings. The greatest example who has good thoughts towards Allah are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prophets alayhi salam, as exemplified by the father of the prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, وَالَّذِي أَطْعَمَنْ وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. That he is hoping, that say, I hope to the Lord that will forgive me, forgive all of my shortcomings in the day of judgment. So he is atma. Atma means he is hoping, that he is certain that, oh my God will forgive me. With the knowledge and also with the actions that we mentioned just now, and also now, they are certain already. After they have done their good deeds, so now it is time to reap whatever you have sowed. Our pious predecessors as well taught us about husnudhan billah. The likes of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he said, ma uhibbu ay yuhasibu, ma uhibbu inna hisabi yuj'alu ila walidayya. He said that I would love that my accountability in the day of judgment, it was being done by my parents, right, rather than Allah. He said, I would love that. But and then he said, wa rabbi khayrun li min walidayya, but Allah is much more better than my parents. Repeat that phrase. I will love that my accountability, my judgment in the day of judgment is done by my parents. Because Bukan by my parents. Bukan your parents, you know. Your parents love you. They will overlook all of your mistakes and they will just forgive you. But he said, Allah is better than my parents. Allah will overlook more than my parents. Subhanallah. However, some people may, when they hear this, right? We have good thoughts towards Allah. So alhamdulillah, Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive me. So however, this understanding, they will take it to the next level. Like they say, oh, it's okay. You can do anything that you like. When you come to Allah, and then Allah will forgive you. Understand? They will enjoy this life. They will engage in sins, in mistakes, expecting that Allah will forgive them. Because they say Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Allah is وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ. He is the forgiving and He is the loving God. So I will do anything that I want in this life and then come to Allah and Allah will forgive me. So this is one of the tricks of the shaitan. One of the tricks of the shaitan that will make you indulge in your sins continuously until you are perished. Yeah? Khawarij. Khawarij is more towards doing the good deeds. But they are engaging in good deeds, but in the extreme level. For example, the companion said, when you see they fast, when you see their prayer, you will feel that you don't do anything. So that is the under extreme. But this extreme is that you don't do anything. You don't do anything. So when they are continuously engaging in sin and evil, negligent in their tawbah, in coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then because, why? Because they claim they have good thoughts towards Allah. You see, this is the loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because why? Because they don't know Allah. Ignorant about Allah's characteristics, Allah's attributes. They don't know who is Allah. They say Allah is Allah. God. God can do anything. God can forgive all sins. They only take that part. Of course, Allah said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy engulfs everything. But Allah also said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His punishment is very severe. Right? سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And His accountability is very swift. So you cannot just go to one extreme and neglect the other extreme. So the Salaf used to mention, مِنْ حُسْنِ ظَنِّهِ بِاللَّهِ مَنْ حَسُنَ ظَنُّهُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ لَا يَخَافُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُخْدِعُ. Okay, فَهُوَ مَخْدُوعٌ. Whoever that claims that they have حُسْنُ ظَنِّ بِاللَّهِ, they claiming they have good thoughts towards Allah, but they don't fear Allah. لا يخاف الله. They don't fear Allah in their actions. These are the people who deceive themselves. Deceive themselves. How many people we see claiming they have good thoughts towards Allah, but then look at their actions, it is against whatever they claim. So whatever, you cannot continuously hoping Allah will forgive you if you don't make tawbah. That's why you have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah is the key that you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is that's why you know, because you know that Allah accepts tawbah, then you make tawbah. Right? So not because of, you just leave it as it is. Next is, those who have good thoughts on Allah possess high iman in the names and attributes of Allah. They know Allah. They learn about Allah's names, about Allah's attributes. They know about what is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafur, Al-Wadud, Al-Alim, Al-Kabir, Al-Basir, Al-Sami'. All of these, they know. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'ina asman, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Verily for Allah, Allah has 99 names. The names of Allah, Allah said Allah has 99 names. Sorry, the Prophet said that Allah has 99 names. Man ahsaha, whoever enumerates it, dakhala al-jannah, will enter jannah. Ahsaha here means is not merely calculate Allah ar-Rahim, like the song, right? When we're learning from school, ma yas'aluka ya man huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa rahmanur rahim al-malikul quddusus salamul mu'minun. So not merely singing those songs without knowing what is it. What is al-malik, al-quddus, as-salam, al-mu'min, al-muhaymin, al-aziz, al-jabbar. Knowing the meanings, knowing what is the implication of knowing this name in your life. Allah al-Basir. Allah is all-seeing. Seeing all of your actions, all your deeds. Whenever you do it in public or in private, Allah knows. Allah as-Sami'. Allah is all-hearing. He hears all of your things that you see. Even the things that you whisper in your heart, Allah knows. Allah said, وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Verily, we are near to them, closer to them than their jugular veins. He is very close to Allah. Allah is very close to, His knowledge is close to the servants. So, where was I? Walakin, these are all. If you don't know Allah, that means you are assuming that Allah doesn't know. For example,
walakin dhanantum anna Allah la ya'lamu kathiran mimma ta'malun.
And verily you have evil thought, that you thought that, yeah, concerning your Lord, you think that Allah doesn't know what you do, what you are acting, the deeds that you are engaging in this world. You say, oh, Allah will not look at me, Allah will not take me into account, whatever that I do. That's why we see a lot of people do things that, that is unimaginable, killing, stealing, bribery, cheating, and all of this, because they think they don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shaheed and alayhim, that is watching them. And the fourth one, those who think good of Allah are very optimistic towards Allah about the future, that Allah will grant them, will promise them good things in the future. Optimistic in Arabic we call it tafa'ul. Thinking, being optimistic towards Allah, tafa'ul. So always optimistic about the affairs of the dunya, and whatever is going to happen in the future. Whatever that happens to you, you will have a good thought, or maybe this is the best for me. How many times that we get any musibah, any calamities? So what do people say? People will say to you, ala, ada hikmah di sebaliknya. These are all the plans of Allah. Maybe there is good in it. Maybe in your accident, for your car, engaged in accident, involved in accident, maybe there is good in that accident. Maybe there is good that you, for example, had this terminal illness, for example. Everything that Allah ordained for you is good. We have to believe that. That is our husnudhan billah. We think good of Allah. Allah give me this because Allah wants to purify my sins. Let's say if you don't have sins, alhamdulillah, Allah wants to raise your status. Allah wants to take you to another level, to become closer to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Um, For example, Prophet Ibrahim, again he said, "Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdin." Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdin. He is the one, my Lord is the one who creates me and he will guide me. So he has optimism towards Allah. And say, Allah created me, of course he will not leave me just like that. Allah, he will guide me. He will show me the way. He will give me a revelation that will lead me to Jannatul Firdaus. Alladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqin. And he is the one, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will give me food. That will provide me food and give me drinks. Yasqin. Quench my thirst. This is the optimism of Prophet Ibrahim. Alladhi wa idha maridtu fahuwa yashfin. And whenever I am sick, he is the one who will cure me. Whenever I am sick, he is the one who will cure me. We can see a lot of people, a lot of concerns in this world actually, a lot because of their future. What their future lies ahead. So when they think of their future, when they think of their jobs, of their earnings, they will be worried and anxious. And the funny thing is, they always think bad. They say, oh, how am I going to pay the rent? The rent is always increasing every year. The price of your maintenance fee and your apartment is always increasing year after year, right? 20%, now more, maybe every year, 100 ringgit. So, worry. Oh, I don't worry about, you know, will I have enough money if I have another child, for example? Will I have enough money if I change my job to another job that is more Sharia compliant, for example? I was working in this place where involved a lot of things that is shubha, that things that is not clear whether it's halal or haram. So I am transferring to this new job that is, alhamdulillah, Sharia compliant. There's no involvement of grey areas. But the pay is a bit lesser. So we are worried. All of these things make us worry. What about my children when I pass away? How are they going to survive? Right? So I need, so you can see them. They are collecting money. They are looking for wealth as much as possible so that they can provide for their children. So as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already ordained our rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written our rizq when we were in the belly of our mother. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَأَجِرْهِ وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create humankind, the embryology that you can see from the hadith, when you become, after 40 days, Allah will send an angel. The angel will write about rizq, your rizq, your provisions, until you will pass away. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. And then your amal, what is your action? What will you do in this life? When are you going to get married? When are you going to go to university? When are you going to have children? All of this, is written in the womb of your mother. Third one, wa ajalihi. Your ajal is already being written for you. Ajal. Inside the mother's womb. And the last one is shaqiyun aw sa'id. Whether you will be those who are ashabul yamin, going to Jannah, or you're going to hellfire. Shaqiyun aw sa'id. Shaqi means miserable. Sa'id means happy. Are you with those who are happy or those who are sad in the day of judgment? So this is, you have to be optimistic to Allah. Allah is Ar-Razak. Ar-Razak. And this is one of the requirements of, if you want to become a Muslim, the sixth pillar of faith. Right? What is the sixth pillar of faith? Yeah. The number six, yeah, only. The decree of Allah. Yes, subhanAllah. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, jazakillah khairan. The sixth article of faith, which is believe in qada and qadar, the predestination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for you, whatever that is happening now. One of it is everything has been written already. Qabla ayyukhluqa as-samawati wal ardi bi 50 alf sana. 50,000 years before the creation of heavens and earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything, has written. Allah commanded the pen, the qalam, to write everything that will happen until the day of judgment. So don't worry. Just live your life. Just be optimistic. Live the day now, not tomorrow. Okay, not tomorrow. I mean, you can prepare. No, of course, you can prepare for tomorrow, for years to come. But do not neglect your today. Right? Do not neglect your today. And shaitan is always whispering fear and anxiety towards us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqra wa ya'murukum bil fahsha." Indeed, shaitan always whisper to you, threatens you of poverty, faqr, and then he commands you to do fahsha, things that is evil deeds, as involve sexual intercourses, involve you know, all these kinds of you know, LGBT and all of these, what do you call it? Lewd, right? Is it lewd? What we call it? Lewd actions, right? This is what the shaitan said. And then, wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. Whereas Allah promises you with forgiveness from Himself and then bounties from Him. Wallahu wasi'un alim. And Allah is all sufficient for His creatures and all knower. Alim. Wasi'un alim. So here's an important note, that is tawakkal towards Allah, not tawakkal. Okay, there's two different things, tawakkul and tawakkul. One is with shadda, tawakkul, 2 K's. And another one is tawakkul. So we don't want to do tawakkul. Tawakkul means you leave everything. Allah will take care of everything of my affairs. You just live like that, without you putting effort in becoming closer to Allah, in finding your provisions. So the correct way in Islam, that Islam taught us to have tawakkul, is you do your part and Allah will do His part. Right? Tie your camel and then leave it to Allah. Not just leave your cars unlocked. And then maybe the last one we can share about, those who have good thoughts on Allah will combine whatever they think of Allah with good deeds lah, of course. Okay, so the Prophet said, is one of the hadith, it was narrated, husnul dhanni min husnil this is wrong, okay, min husnil ibadah. Okay, good thought towards Allah is from the good worshipping towards Allah, worshipping in a good manner. And Hasan al-Basri said, innal mu'mina ahsana dhanna bi rabbihi fa ahsana al-amal. So those who believe in Allah, when they have good thoughts to Allah, they make their deeds good. They improvise their deeds to be better. Year after year, they will, not year after year, time after time, they will improve their knowledge. Sorry, their deeds. Of course, you have to, when you want to increase your deeds, you have to increase your knowledge. Because when you have knowledge, you have to apply. Let's say, before this, you don't know that praying nawafil prayers after the obligatory prayers, 12 or 10 raka'ats, 2 before fajar, 2 before zuhur, 4 after zuhur, 2 after maghrib, and 2 after isha. So we have around 10, or some narrations say 12. So these 12, you don't know before this. So now you know. So inshallah we'll do it. So this is what we call beneficial knowledge, that will increase your engagement towards Allah and increase your husnul dhann billah. Because Allah said, whoever does this, whoever is consistent in doing this nawafil prayers, sunnah prayers, Allah will build a house for him in Jannah. So you say, oh, I want that house. So we engage in this kind of actions. And then we can say that those who are negligent towards their good deeds are not having good thoughts toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why? Because how can somebody have good thoughts towards Allah when he is negligent of the rights of his Lord? Because your Lord asks you to do something, but you don't fulfill his rights. So how can you become somebody that think good of your Lord? Think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can somebody become somebody who thinks good of Allah, but he neglects the do's and the don'ts? Allah say, do not do this, but he does it. Allah say, do this, he doesn't do. So how can you have a good thought towards Allah when you are like this? So this is all wrong. This is have to be, you know, improved. And then this one, let me end with this hadith. I'm just going to make it a summary. This one hadith during the Prophet when during his last days, when he was sick, and some number of companions come to visit and ask Aisha radiallahu anha, and they ask, how was the days of the Prophet on his last days? So Aisha said, he has this some money, like 6 to 7 dirhams of money with the Prophet. So during his bedridden and all, he's very sick, and he told Aisha, oh Aisha, please give this away. Give this in charity. I don't want to see this dirhams. 7 dirhams, 6 dirhams with him. And then she was so busy handling the Prophet. He was sick. He was helping to take care of the Prophet until he forgets. She forgets about it. Until Aisha forgets about this this thing that the Prophet asked her to do. And then at the end, the Prophet asks, have you given to charity? Oh, I forgot. Oh, Prophet Allah, I'm very, very busy with you. I forgot to give it to charity. So the Prophet take that 7 dirham and he said, مَا ظَنَّ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ لَوْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهَذِهِ عِنْدَهِ. How is the condition of my good thoughts towards Allah if this thing is still in my hands? You mean he wants to give this to me. He don't want to possess anything when he's going to pass away. So he said, give everything to Allah. Give everything for the sake of Allah. I don't want to be taken into account of everything. So it is not supposed for a prophet to have this possessions with him before he passed away. So this is what the Prophet say. He wants to do charity. Whatever that he sees now, he sees the opportunity, even though he is bedridden, he is very, very sick. So he say, please give this on my behalf. Please give it now, okay, before he passed away. So Wallahu alam. Do you want to continue with the book? This is my intro only. This is only my intro. The book is at page... I'm very sure. I don't know where Ustaz Ali left me. Because he... Oh, betul lah. That one. Just a little bit. We just go through. So the book is La Tahzan, written by Sheikh Dr. Aid Al-Qarni. A very, very beneficial book, mashallah. It was initially in Arabic, and so they translated in English. Very good, very good, mashallah. But the language is a bit, high level for me. Okay. So it is on page 216, right? People should depend on you and not you on them. Al-nasu alayka la lak. Okay, let's read a bit. The noble-hearted one works for people and does not allow them to serve him. Therefore, he doesn't embark on a project that will require him to rely upon others. In helping others, people have a limit or point, up to which they are willing to strive and sacrifice for others. And this limit is seldom exceeded. Oh, this one is a heavy one. Consider Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was murdered and the nation did not stir, did not do anything. Instead, his murderers danced in the streets, chanting praises to Allah for their victory. May Allah be pleased with Hussein. An Arab poet wrote, when you know the poetry from Arabic was translated into English, it doesn't look very nice. Let me recite in the Arabic. Ja'u bi ra'sika yabna binti Muhammadin mutazammila bi dima'i tazmila wa yukabbiruna bi an qutilta innama qatalu bika takbira wa tahlila. Subhanallah, very very beautiful. They say they come with you they come with your head, O grandson of Muhammad. You know what they do? They chop off his head. Subhanallah. Rejoicing at its dripping blood with joy and mirth. Praising Allah for have been killing you, Ya Allah. But they only kill their praises and their religion. Qatalu bikal at-takbira wa tahlil. The translation is better is, they kill with you with their takbir and their tahlil as well. They also kill the takbir and the tahlil as well. Subhanallah. How can you kill somebody that is beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Even though he does things that is bad, but the Prophet say this is man. I forget the hadith. Whoever loves these two grandchildren of mine has loved me. That is the Prophet said. So when they, this is a long story. You can read it on your own. But make sure that you read the version that is from the Sunnis, because there is a version from the Shi'as. It's a bit different. Okay, you can read from Al Bidayah wa Nihaya from Ibn Kathir, or maybe you can read this contemporary book. I don't know whether it has been translated. It's from Sheikh Uthman Khamis, Haqibah Minat Tarikh, and also you can find some good books as well. And then when they come with the head of Hussein to Yazid, that time Yazid bin Muawiyah was the Khalifa in Sham. So they brought that head, and then some of them like playing around with that head, something like that. So one of those who are there, they say, you don't have to do that. Please stop doing that. For wallahi, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kiss that very lips that you are playing with. Ya Allah. And the Prophet loved Hussein so much. But you know, this turmoil happened during those times. And then, you know, miscommunication. Those times, they don't have WhatsApp. And they say, Hussein is coming to Kufa. And then, you know, there's only all those, they will write down letters, because people from Kufa ask Hussein to come to Kufa using letters, you know. But wallahu alam, things that happen, so we take this as a lesson that we don't do things out of boundary. So Imam Ahmad also was tortured by being severely beaten with a whip. He was on the verge of dying and nobody moved a finger to help him. I think this is a misprint. So invoke not with Allah another ilah, God. So this is out of place. the ayat. So invoke not with Allah other than other ilah. Yeah, I don't think so, because yeah, it doesn't make sense. So Ibn Taymiyyah was captured and was made to mount a mule, to be paraded on it and humiliated. Throngs of people who later attended his funeral did nothing while that happened, simply because people with the rare expectation have a certain limit. They will not go beyond helping others. You see, sometimes you can help, but towards a certain extent, when life is at stake, you will say, okay, I don't want to get involved in this matter anymore. So, you know, that's why we always depend in ourselves. I mean, always do not put full trust to anyone else besides yourself, so that you won't be that sad. You don't be that depressed when things doesn't go your way, and they will let you down. People, this is what I learned from my experience, expect that people will let you down. You have to have that expectation. But if they don't let you down, alhamdulillah, this is a very, very good, it's a very, very big gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, to be granted such friends, such, you know, such companion. Yeah. So always make dua that you rely 100% towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam, when their sons, they say, why do you always think of Yusuf? And Yusuf is already gone. You only think about him. It's already passed years after he is gone. Maybe he's dead already. And then what he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Verily, I only complain my sadness and my sorrow to Allah. So I only rely to Allah. You don't have to be worried about me. I just complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the prophets taught us to do. And then we can continue. This is ayah of the Quran. They possess neither. Let me read the Arabic. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. They possess neither hurt nor benefit for themselves, and possess no power or causing death, nor giving life, nor raising the dead. This is from Surah Furqan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said,
Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu hasbukallahu wa manittaba'aka minal mu'minin.
And put your trust, O Muhammad, in the ever-living, the one who never dies, who dies not. Also from... Sorry, not wrong. O Prophet Muhammad, Allah is sufficient for you. Hasbukallahu, and for the believers who follow you. Okay? So then the ayat is,
وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ.
And put your trust, O Muhammad, in the ever-living, the one who dies not. And the last ayat is,
إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يُغْنُوا عَنْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا.
Verily, they can avail you nothing against Allah if He wants to punish you. So let us stop here. So what we can learn from here is... So that's why husnuzan billah is important. Husnuzan billah, having good thoughts toward Allah is very important. Having good thoughts, having a solid iman towards Allah, reliance upon Allah, tawakkul, certainty that Allah will treat you good in this world. Whatever happens to you in this world is always good for you. That you cannot see the wisdom. Allah sees everything, but you can only see through a microscopic view. So, don't rely on others. Rely on Allah totally. Wallahu alam bisawab. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability
to have husnul dhan billah, to have good thoughts towards Allah. And may Allah SWT increase our iman. May Allah SWT make us from the righteous believers. May Allah SWT grant us beneficial knowledge and grant us the correct understanding of our religion. Amin. So we open with the Q&A. Tafadhal.
Yeah, Ustaz, I want to ask on tafsir, right? When we tafsir certain ayat, the technique of tafsir, we have a certain methodology, right?
Correct.
Not everybody can just tafsir according to your whims and fancies or according to your personal opinion.
Correct.
Now, that we learn in classes, the general terms, we use the Ibn Kathir. Interpretation, tafsir classes, right?
Yes, okay.
How far is it true if someone says, I don't know, you have to check, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, that Rasulullah said, if it is right, what I heard, that one can tafsir or interpret the Quran based on one's level of iman. That means for a certain person of here, this iman, and for some of that iman, he sees Quran in a different context. And if we come to that situation, it's not going to be a uniform or standardized interpretation. So, so what is your comment on that? Is it true based on different iman? So what is the guideline for us, the normal layman? Ibn Kathir interpretation is applied across the board for the universal? Thank you. Because they are scholars themselves. Mm-hmm. They are not revelators. I mean, they are not. They don't get the wahyu. I mean, they are scholars.
Correct, correct.
So can you enlighten me on that? Thank you.
MashaAllah, jazakallah khairan. About tafsir. Okay, so that's why we say, if you see the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, it is not merely his words. Right? If you see, the technique that was used in Tafsir Ibn Kathir and most of the big tafsir, for example, Tafsir At-Tabari and all, they use this method, what is it called? Tafsir Bil Ma'thur. You interpret the Quran with another riwayah, right? With another evidence. It's either you tafsir Quran with another ayat, or you tafsir Quran with the hadith, sahih hadith. And also tafsir Quran with the sayings of the companions. Because most of the narrations that you see in tafsir, especially Ibn Kathir, is from the students of the companions. Mujahid, Dahhak, all of these are the names that you see, Qala Dahhak, Qala Mujahid. All these are companions. Students, so they learn directly from their companions, and the companions will not say anything that is against the Sharia, against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most of it comes with dalil, okay. And to be able to make tafsir, it requires a lot of things. It requires you to memorize the Quran, to understand the Quran, or also to memorize, if I'm not mistaken, a number of hadith. I'm not sure the number, but some say is more than 100,000s of hadith, something like that. Okay, so you have to know also sirah, tafsir, the story of the Prophet, the maghazi, what we call the history of the Prophet. So all of this have to be taken into consideration. You have to know also the language, the nahu, the sarf, the balagha. So all of these scholars, they are not merely just scholars who knows. They are geniuses. Genius, they know a lot of field. They mastered the field of tafsir. So wallahu alam. So, and what about us? Can we do tafsir? Of course not, we do tafsir. So some of us, it is not tafsir. It is what we call reflection. And what we read, and then we depends on people's translation. Any translation that you use, for example, Sahih International. So this is, you depend on their interpretation to give you the general picture of that ayah. So that from that, you understand what is the context of that ayah, what Allah saying is saying, so that you at least you know the surface. But some of the ayats is very specific to specific events. For example, Allah asks to kill, for example, right? So if you take this out of context, you will not, you know, understand. You will understand it wrongly. You will kill everybody, right? So Allah said this, it is his insight only during war times and during engaging in war. Kill whoever you see in front of you. So wallahu alam, we don't do tafsir. We actually, all of the classes of tafsir that I see, they don't do their own tafsir. They take from, for example, the simplest one, if you want to start, is tafsir As-Sa'di. Tafsir Sa'di is like a very brief explanation about that ayat. Tafsir Sa'di, or maybe tafsir Muyassar, the easy tafsir. Tafsir Sa'di is quite famous and has already been translated in a lot of languages, especially English as well. So we always refer to them. And then you can see, all of tafsir doesn't go out from, let me see, yeah, the famous ones, for example. Only a few that that people will focus on. Ibn Kathir, As-Sa'di, At-Tabari, Al-Baghawi, for example. Tafsir Muyassar. So these fives is very common tafsir. To make our own tafsir, we don't say common, we say reflections, whatever that is related to your life, that is similar to whatever that Allah has mentioned. Wallahu a'lam bisawab. Any question? No? Alhamdulillah. So alhamdulillah, thank you for your attentive listening. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your participation. Huh? Oh, so before I end this lecture, I would like to share some events that is going to happen in near future. First is journaling through Don't Be Sad. So this class is actually the main class, and then we have the follow-up program, which we call journaling. This is a halaqa only for sisters, right? So for sisters who are interested in knowing more, in implementing whatever that we have learned, especially during Don't Be Sad, you can join journaling through Don't Be Sad, sisters only event. So it's happening, I cannot see, 15 February, right? This 15 February on Saturday. On Saturday, yeah. So make sure that you register and get involved with us. If you don't have time, please share this to your friends who needs this kind of motivation, you know, very, very beneficial. And also, if you are preparing for Ramadan and you want to enter Ramadan with conviction of your recitation of Fatiha, with a lot of certainty in your recitation, so it is recommended to join the course with me, Perfecting My Al-Fatiha, this 15 February as well. Oh, the same date. Is it clashing or not? Clashing. Okay, so you can go journaling first and then you can come to Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha is very important, brothers and sisters. 17 times, without fail, we're going to recite it every single day. So, and it is one of the arkanus salah, is one of the pillar of salah. So without reciting Al-Fatiha properly and correctly, your salah might not be valid. So it is very, very highly encouraged for us to improve. At least we have learned Al-Fatiha since we are in our maybe primary school, or maybe lower than that, our kindergarten. So it is important to update software, right? Our softwares can be updated. Our chat GPTs are already updated into 4.0, something like that. So our Fatiha, our recitation especially, in general, have to be improved as well. Wallahu alam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. PMS. Ada? Oh. PMS is not post-menstrual. It is perfecting my solah. This is Perfecting Fatiha. We have also Salat course. The course that we learn how to pray as taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So it's very, very mind-opening course. So if you want to learn more, if you want to, especially you want to learn how to approach evidences, how to approach the adab of, you know, interacting with hadith and ayatul Quran. So you can consider to join. So of course, but you have to be fast, because once we open the registration, people will register fast. It will be full very, 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 very soon. So make sure you don't miss it, inshallah. 22nd of February, right? Before the 1 week before Ramadan. 1 week before Ramadan. So, wallahu alam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us whatever that is beneficial and make it beneficial to whoever, for us and also for those who are around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make whatever that we have learned evidence for us and not against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify all of our affairs and not leave us even for the blink of an eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of our loved ones, of our family, those who are still living and those who have passed away in the state of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon their sins and forgive them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help those who are being oppressed in any places in the world, especially in Palestine, in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them safety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them from the oppression. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring back the izzah of Muslimin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in the better gathering in the Jannatul Firdaus. Amin ya Rabbal Alamin. We end with tasbih kafarah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.